Then I believe I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
So we had an amazing week, starting off, you know, with Purim.
Yeah.
Which was a beautiful Purim party that we had in the gym of the JCC.
I heard it was a great turnout.
Yeah, even with the rain and it was coming down really hard, and I was getting text messages and emails from people, oh, I don't think we're going to come because of the rain, this and that. And we had a little over 120 people sitting down.
Your parties are rain or shine.
That's right. We don't close for anything.
That's it.
But it was nice, and the entertainer, the kids loved them. She was making these huge bubbles over kids. I mean, it was really nice, and the Mexican food was good, so it was good. Now we're on to Pesach.
Yeah.
It's going to come quicker than we even think.
For sure.
But
so you want to mention the dates of Pesach, of Passover, for our listeners?
Well, Passover starts Friday evening, which is April 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it goes for 8 days. So the first night is Friday night. Second night is Saturday night. And anyone, you know, there is two seders, I believe. I know we're doing the first night seder.
Mm-hmm.
For the community, I believe the
usually the
temple does,
yep.
The congregation of Adele does the second night.
Exactly.
So, look, you know, people that don't have any places to go, or family, or friends, that type of thing, is this, or even if you don't want to you just don't want to cook,
yep.
And you want to spend time with other people during the Seder, that's a beautiful way to be.
Book your Seder.
That's right, exactly.
And we promise the listeners that we'll give them more information before the Passover.
Yes, I think either next week or the week after we'll start talking about Passover, because, you know, Passover comes, there's so much to talk about.
Yep.
The laws and different insights and things that we have to do. So, absolutely, that's what we'll start doing.
That's great. So, Parshat Shmini.
Yes, this week's Torah portion is Parshat Shmini, which really is Shmini, is the eighth.
Yeah.
In Hebrew, and it says, starts off saying, you know, on the eighth day following the 7 days of the inauguration, Aaron and his sons become the official Kohanim priest, and a fire issues forth from God to consume the offerings on the altar, and the divine presence comes to dwell in the sanctuary. Now we know that Aaron and his sons now have officially become the Kohanim, the priests.
Yeah.
And Aaron's two older sons, Nadav and Abihu, offering a very strange fire before God, which he commanded them not to do, and they die before God. Now, Aaron is silent in the face of this tragedy, and we see that, you know, this is something that God didn't want them to do. We also learn in the sixth Torah portion that God commands the laws of kosher, identifying the animal specific, the animal species permissible and forbidden for consumption, as well as, you know, we know land animals, if they have stud hooves and they chew its cud,
yeah.
Fish must have fins and scale, and so on and so forth. It's interesting because, you know, there are two signs. You know, land animals that are permitted or kosher for Jews to consume are what we just talked about now.
That's what we say, Parsa and Ma'ale Gera.
Right, exactly. Which really is written in the Torah, but really, how do we know that they're kosher? By two distinct characteristics. You know, firstly, the animal must bring up its cud and chew it. This means that after swallowing its food, the animal must regurgitate it from the first stomach to the mouth to be chewed again. And people that don't necessarily aren't familiar or don't know, but the regurgitated food is called the cud. Now, second, the animal must have completely cloven hooves. For example, you know, the cow, the goat, the sheep, they both have these characteristics and the characters of stud hooves and chewed cud, and they are deemed kosher. The donkey, the horse, on the other hand, for example, don't have either of them, they're non-kosher. The pig, which has split hooves, but does not chew its cud, and the camel as well, who chews its cud, but does not have split hooves, are not kosher animals. So that is what the Torah tells us simply. So the question he's asked the Israelis, why do these particular characteristics cause an animal to be kosher? Who cares if they choose a scud or has split hoofs? Why are these characteristics so important, letting us know what they are? And this really shows, for example, the power of food. For example, the Kabbalah teaches that the physical attributes of an animal reflect the distinct psychological and spiritual qualities of a person's soul. Another point that is brought down by Kabbalah, by Jewish mystics, is that the food a person consumes has a profound effect on one's psyche. It's what is brought down in Kabbalah. Therefore, when a person eats the flesh of a particular animal, the personality, quote-unquote, of this animal affects the identity of the human consumer. The split hoofs and the chewing of the cud represent two qualities of the soul of these animals that are crucially necessary for the healthy development of the human character. Now, when the Jew consumes the substance of these animals, he becomes a more, quote-unquote, kosher and refined human being. What do they say? The food affects a person's body. Now, if you look at what's the concept of cloven hooves, the division, existing in the coverings on an animal's feet are really symbolic of the notions that one's movement in life, which obviously is reflected by the moving leg, is governed by a division between right and left, between right and wrong, between the permissible and the prohibited. A split hoof represents the human capacity to accept that there are things to be embraced and things to be, things to be rebuffed. And this process of moral self-discipline is really the hallmark of living a healthy psychological and spiritual life. Let's think about it, for example. A violin can produce, its exquisite music only when its chords are tied. Not when they're loose and free. Nothing's going to happen. It's going to be useless. Similarly, a human being who allows himself to do whatever he wants, whenever they want, wherever they want, and whomever wants. What happens is they rob themselves of the opportunity to experience the inner music of his soul, for his soul to truly come out. And so I think the challenge that a person has, that we can all challenge ourselves, is, the second quality that characterizes a kosher human being is that he always chooses cud. Even after a person swallows and integrates into his life certain perspectives, attitudes, feelings, he must never become totally self-assured about them. The spiritual human being needs to continually regurgitate his notions and ideas to be chewed on and reflected upon again. And again, man must never allow himself to become fully content, in his world, in his own orbit. Contentment breeds arrogance, breeds boredom, breeds a lot of different things. And a person has to always think till his last breath that I challenge myself, examine my behavior, refine my character. And if a person does that, it gives them the ability to change, to become a different person. This reminds me of the story that, David Goldberg, he bumps into somebody in the street who looks like his old friend Jack. And he says, Jack, you've put on weight and your hair has turned gray. You seem, a few inches shorter than I recall and your cheeks are puffy. Plus, you're walking differently and even sound different. Jack, what happened to you? And this person says, I'm not Jack. So David Goldberg says, well, you even changed your name. Some people, we're not willing or ready to be able to
give up
to give up and to accept. We'll change this. And I challenge, you know, we always have this challenge. How do we become a kosher human being? And I don't mean kosher, you know, food. Kosher is a very universal word now. How do we become a better human being? And how do we challenge ourselves? That sometimes, you know, when you think about something, let it sink in. Regurgitate that already. Chew it. Figure it out. See, is it something that I want to say? Is it not something I want to say? Is it something that I want to do?
Take your time.
Exactly. And by doing that, I think that is in a very important lesson. That's why it brings down that the animals have to have choose cut and split hoofs to be able to teach us these important lessons.
So keep chewing.
Yeah. That's right.
Rabbi, and services in Sharei Shemaim Tzedek.
We have, you know, actually this week is a very interesting week because we are hosting a chapter of a youth group, NCSY,
mm-hmm.
From New Jersey,
yeah,
who is going to be joining us for Shabbos, and after that we're going to have a Friday night dinner together. So it's going to have about 19 boys and girls that are coming together.
That's great.
So it's going to be, they're actually going Thursday. They're going to be in Detroit today, actually. They're going to be in Detroit working with Habitat for Humanity. They're going to go and, you know, I think build houses or paint houses. I think last year we hosted them, they were ripping out bathrooms.
Community work.
Community work to give these kids an aspect of community commitment, though, and responsibility. And then they wanted to come to a smaller city, Windsor, to spend Shabbos. So we're hosting this. So that's going to be interesting. So tomorrow night, Friday evening, we start service at 6:40, and Shabbat morning is at 9:30.
That's good. So, Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too.
And peaceful and good weekend.
Yes. We'll talk next week, God willing.
Thank you.
Okay, be well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.